Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration is from 1 John chapter 1. We pick up in verse 5 this time. I'll begin reading now. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of our God. Peace to you from our God who made light and is light. Amen. Do you like to be in the dark? I think most of us would say no without much hesitation. We don't like to be in the dark physically, conversationally, or even emotionally. Now, you may enjoy sitting in a room with the lights off, but I'm willing to bet you're not really in the dark even then. You likely have a screen or two, even, glowing and radiating light. If not, maybe you're gathered around a fire or something. You may say that you like to sleep in the dark, but it isn't that dark. It's not like when you wake up, you can't see the hand in front of your face. There are times where the darkness is fine, but we don't want to live or be in the dark. It's definitely not fun to be in the dark conversationally. We've all been there. Maybe it was an inside joke. You just laugh along to get along, but you don't get it. It's not as much fun as it could be. Or you're in a conversation where terms and ideas are being thrown out there. You have no idea what anybody's talking about or why. You're in the dark. The worst, I suppose, is when secrets are being kept from us. It's not much fun being in the dark conversationally. We don't like to be in the dark, to be in a dark place emotionally either. Maybe you have been there, or somebody close to you has. Being in the dark emotionally or mentally makes everything harder. Simple tasks feel impossible. Little things that at one time wouldn't have caused you to even skip a beat stop you dead in your tracks when you're in a dark place mentally or emotionally. When you're in that kind of frame of mind, it feels like nobody understands you, nobody gets you, nobody even cares. Nobody wants to be in that kind of dark place. So when John writes that God is light and that in him there is no darkness at all and that we should walk in the light, we may instinctively think that that's right where we've always wanted to be. And it should be where we want to be, but it isn't always. See, being in the light doesn't just make it easier to see where you're going. It also reveals where you've been. Light has the power to expose hidden realities. That's why many people have security lights around their property that move based on motion, right? That's why the spotlight of an investigative journalist can expose what's really going on in the shadows or behind locked doors. That's why when you're traveling, you'll notice how dim the lights might be in your hotel room. Very bright lights would have the power to lay bare all the stuff that the housekeepers missed. In medical exams, dyes and scans are used to filter light so that doctors can diagnose what's going on beneath the surface. light lays the truth bare. And when light lays the truth bare, it doesn't always make us look or feel so great. Many times, we'd actually prefer the blissful ignorance of remaining in the dark. But God won't let us live in the dark spiritually. So the same God who said, "Let there be light," and brought light out of nothingness and chased away the darkness, has caused his light to shine in this world that is so dark without him, lost without his truth. And when God's light shines, when his truth is proclaimed, it doesn't always make us feel or look so great. God's light exposes a lot of the darkness of our hearts and lives. See, the Bible uses this picture of darkness for sin many times. In Isaiah 9, you know, that section of scripture that we hear a lot around Christmas about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, it begins with the reality check that there are people living in darkness. In Paul's letter to the Romans and the Corinthians and the Ephesians, he warns his readers about the deeds of darkness, things like selfishness, debauchery, sexual immorality, foolish talk, drunkenness, dissension, jealousy, and all other kinds of indecent behavior. These are the kinds of sins of darkness that you feel better about doing when nobody's looking, the kinds of behaviors that develop most in the dark, the kinds of sin that festers in the shadows. It's maybe worth noting that the deeds of darkness are not the kinds of things that we're afraid of happening to us when we walk down a dark alley. It's not murder, it's not theft, it's not physical or even sexual violence. The deeds of darkness are all the things that give the individual a rush of sinful pleasure. Even though in the light you would acknowledge that it's not a good thing to do, it still makes you feel good. A darkness provides cover for these kinds of covert wickedness and sin. We may say we don't like to be in the dark, but there are times when we are prone to wander into the shadows. And as we wander, we like to downplay the danger. We think of these sins like lust, greed, pride, anger, jealousy, as more minor infractions. They're peccadilloes even, right? A fancy word we made up to downplay our sin. Or maybe we say they're our pet sins. They're disobedient dust bunnies that we can sweep under the couch or under the rug into the closet and tell ourselves they're not such a big deal. We have them under control. They're things nobody else can see. How mistaken we are when we treat the deeds of darkness like this. Have we forgotten God's warning to Cain about his jealousy? Sin's crouching at your door. It desires to have you. Do we think Paul was exaggerating when he said, "Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold." Or do you think Peter was crying wolf when he said, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour." Sin is not a pet that you can coddle and keep under your control any more than a lion would be. There's a cub. In its infancy, it may seem cute and cuddly, harmless even, but its nature is to seek, to destroy and devour you. And the devil loves to pounce in the dark, to twist the knife of his accusations, to spiritually blackmail us by saying that God would not love us if he knew what we've done. Satan wants us to stay in the darkness, and that's why Jesus warns us about the darkness of sin. You see, in his parables, Jesus repeatedly calls hell a place of darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where you're filled with regret. Darkness is a place of devastation, despair that God designed for the devil, not for us. That is why John warns us that we cannot walk in the path of darkness and claim to be one with God. To walk in darkness is like being trapped in the quicksand of our sins and then relying on your own strength to get out. Not only are you really in danger, you're really foolish if you refuse a helping hand. Claiming to be without sin is no different. Now, the most frequent way that we claim to be without sin is by claiming to be not so bad. That we have things under control, that we're not really hurting anybody. You see, when you and I think that our sins are not so bad or under our control or not hurting anyone, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We're making Jesus out to be a liar. God's word never speaks anywhere of peccadilloes, pet sins, transgressions that are under our complete control, iniquities that aren't hurting anybody. Sin is always destructive. Sin is always darkness. Sin is always deadly. And God wants us to walk in the light, so he sends light to expose the deeds of darkness, even when it makes us feel uncomfortable, even when it embarrasses us, even when we feel foolish. Because it's better for us to feel foolish and be forgiven than it is for us to be blissfully ignorant of the dangers of the darkness of our sin. When we sin, God sends his light. That's exactly what he did for King David. David began to walk down a path of darkness. It began in the dark of the night. He saw a beautiful woman from the distance who was not his wife. And yet he desired her all the more. So David leveraged his royal authority, the authority that God had blessed him with to do what the Lord detested. And then when he found out that she was with child, David dove further into the darkness. First, he tried to deceive her husband Uriah and make him think that this child was his own. And when that didn't work, David sent orders with Uriah that led to his slaughter and war. And then David had the gall to take Bathsheba into his palace as his wife and publicly portray himself as the kind of royal and thoughtful hero who takes care of the families of his mighty warriors. David was in deep darkness. He was walking in darkness and deceiving himself. The truth was not in him. He was making God out to be a liar, and it was destroying him. He writes in Psalm 38 that his hidden guilt was overwhelming him like a burden too heavy to bear. So God in his mercy and love sent a light bearer to expose David's sin. God's servant Nathan came to King David and told David a clever story about an incredibly selfish man and an innocent and beloved lamb. The story ends with the rich man slaughtering the beloved pet of his neighbor when he had plenty of his own flock. This riled David up. He demanded that the perpetrator pay in his own blood. And then Nathan used the mirror of the law to reflect the light on David's life. Nathan exposed David as the incredibly selfish sinner who deserved to pay with his own blood. David's spirit was broken by this powerful light. He confessed his sin and the Lord forgave him, not because David was really sorry, not because David was going to bring Uriah back to life, not because David had been a pretty good guy up until that point. The Lord forgave David because David had an advocate. God promised to send one. It wasn't going to be Nathan, but Jesus of Nazareth, the righteous one. Jesus is God's light. In him, there is not even a hint of darkness. And like the prophet Nathan, Jesus came into this world of darkness and laid bare all kinds of sin. He exposed hidden idolatry, pride, anger, lust, jealousy, all the pet sins that people thought they had under control. Jesus' selfless life exposes each of us to be incredibly selfish sinners. Then Jesus told us that he came to be the innocent and beloved Lamb of God, the one and only, who would voluntarily shed his lifeblood to purify us from all of our unrighteousness and sin. Jesus was faithful to the law, faithful to faithless people, faithful even to the point of death. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and the sins of the whole world. Jesus chose to die in our place so that God might live out the truth. See, the truth is a holy and righteous God has to be just. Sin has to be paid for. He can't look the other way. But the truth is also that our holy and righteous God is also good, merciful, and compassionate. He willingly gave up his son over to death so that sinners might be justified. This is how God lives out the truth. That through Jesus' sacrifice, our debt of sin has been eliminated. We have been declared forgiven, and that is what we are. We who by nature were living in darkness and could not find our way out have seen a great light. God has made his light shine in our hearts. God has called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We are now his beloved children, children of the light. So let us walk in the light confidently. And what does that look like? Well, walking in the light means recognizing the dangers of darkness in all of its form. Walking in the light means refusing to accept sin's darkness in any situation or in any area of life. Walking in the light means following the light, Jesus, and imitating him. And whenever we fall short of that glorious goal, we have a great and gracious gift. We have a transcendent advocate. He is the righteous one, and he is totally devoted to the truth, so he's honest with us. He calls us out of the darkness of sin. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to confess our sins and trust in him. Not make promises that we can't keep, but to trust that he keeps his promises, that he is faithful, that he will forgive our sins. And Jesus is that transcendent advocate who forgives us and then fiercely defends us against the wicked accusations of the prince of darkness. The deceiver, the devil, may bluster. He may point all kinds of fingers at us. He may identify the sin that we thought we had kept hidden, but he will not have the final say. God does. God is light, and his light always drives out darkness so that we, his forgiven people, his dear children, may walk in his light for the rest of our lives and bask in his light for all eternity. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and it's a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you that God is light, that in him there is no darkness, no deceit, nothing shadowy at all. If you'd like to learn more about Jesus, who is the light of the world, who is your transcendent advocate, who has died to forgive your sins and now fiercely defends you against the prince of darkness, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll have an opportunity to listen to past sermons, to learn more about what we believe and teach, and ultimately to gather around the light of life in public worship. We gather together in God's house every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., and it would be our honor to have you join us. May God continue to bless and keep you until next time.